good to see you this evening. I appreciate being mentioned in prayer this evening. That's always encouraging. A while back, I did a sermon from Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14 on why so few are on the narrow way. And not too long ago, I did a sermon from the same passage on why is the way narrow, in which so few people find it. Tonight I like from the same passage, Matthew 7, 13 and 14, why many will be lost. I suppose someone would say very quickly, well, it's because of sin, which is true. It's because people don't obey the gospel. That's also true. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9 teaches that. They know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. But why will so many people be lost? You could give a lot of reasons as to why people will be lost, but I'd like to just share six or seven with you. I've got 15 in the outline, and I'll give you about half of them or so. But again, I wish I could stand before you and say that the majority of people are going to be saved when the end comes, but that's not the case. The Lord made that clear in our text. Again, Matthew chapter 7, 13, 14, and Tom did a good job reading that, and we appreciate that very much. God's people, by the way, have always been in the minority. Deuteronomy 7, verse 7. I think I recently talked with you about that. The Lord did not choose you nor set His love upon you because you were the most of all people, but because you were the fewest of all the earth. Well, why will most people be lost? First of all, they don't weigh enough. In the book of Daniel, when Belshazzar, one of the kings of, during that time, made a feast to all of his lords, it's recorded in Daniel chapter 5. You remember as they were having that feast that an inscription was made on the wall by a finger. Remember that? And he saw that and wanted to know what it meant. And it had three parts to that, to the interpretation of that message, of which Daniel was able to interpret. In Daniel chapter 5, beginning about 25 or 26, the Bible says that the inscription was many, many tekel upharsin. And then Daniel gives the interpretation of that. The first part, many, thy kingdom has been numbered and is finished. The third part of it, upharsin, was the fact that thy kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. You know what the middle part was? Tekel, thou hast been weighed in the balance and are found wanting. He didn't weigh enough. A lot of people today are going to be lost and they find themselves on the broad way because they don't weigh enough. They don't do what God says to do. Though a lot of people do some of what God says to do, but if we only do some of what God says to do and not all that God says to do, we don't weigh enough. And I understand that we've got to grow. And God understands that, obviously. He put it in the text. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, 1 Peter chapter 2 and then verse 2. And He talks about the fact that they are young and old, spiritually speaking, in the book of Hebrews chapter 5. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, 2 Peter 3 and then verse 18. So we understand that we've got to grow. But we've got to grow up. You agree with that? And a lot of people just simply don't weigh enough. You've been weighed in the balance and you have been found wanting or lacking. In the book of Revelation chapter 3, and in verse 1 beginning, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Talking about dead while you live. Here's a passage that bears that out. You got a name that you live, but you're dead. Now watch verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. If there were things that with this congregation were found lacking or wanting, would we fix it? They were admonished to fix it. Thou have been weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Now think about the words to the rich ruler that's recorded in Mark 10 and Luke chapter 18. Lord, I've done all these things. What do I lack yet? One thing thou lackest is wanting, lacking. Go and sell what thou hast. Give to the poor, and then come and follow me. And he went away sorrowful at that saying, because he had greater many possessions. And so some people just simply don't weigh enough. And as a result of that, they're on the broad way that leads to destruction. But also, and all these points, by the way, have in common the word enough. You'd catch on to that probably even if I didn't tell you. But a lot of people just simply didn't learn enough. We use a text often, John chapter 6, verses 45, 44 and 45, that all that come to God must be taught. They got to learn. And the Bible puts a lot of emphasis upon learning. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, the Lord said. Matthew 11, verse 29. Some were ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth when Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 7. So some people are going to be lost because they never learned enough. And it's not God's fault. God's given us the book. But men don't pick it up oftentimes and read it and study it, let alone obey it. How about you? You know the truth? You learn the truth? Striving to know the truth? Will you obey it when you learn it? Have you obeyed it once you've learned it? But why many people will be lost? I suggest to you that many don't put off enough. They simply do not put off enough. And God's people be guilty of this. Ephesians chapter 4 and then verse 22, as Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. Notice what he says, Ephesians chapter 4. And in verse 22, all these very simple points that you put off concerning the former conversation. Some versions, like the New King James Version, may say conduct. Some versions may say behavior. That you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And a line of demarcation between the old man and the new man is obedience to the gospel. I had a conversation with a man this morning that's of a Baptist background, but he's studying, trying to learn the truth. And we talked about the old man and the new man. And if I say that you're saved without being buried in the likeness of the death of Christ, then I've got the old man being saved before the new man ever comes on the scene. And Paul talks about that in Romans chapter 6, so very simply, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, then shall we also be in the likeness of his resurrection. But once we become a Christian, the new man who's raised to walk in newness of life, and by the way, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, old things are passed away, behold, all things become new, 2 Corinthians 5:17. God expects us to put off those things concerning the old man. And the problem is sometimes we become the new man when we obey the gospel, and then we just keep on doing what we've always done. And I know that we make mistakes along the way and we do things of which we ought to know better. But folks, to repeatedly do things and to live in the ways of which we used to live will cause us to be lost. In the book of Colossians chapter 3 verses 8 and 9. Colossians 3, verse 8 and 9. But now you also put off. And remember that he's writing to Christian people in Ephesians and Colossians. People had already obeyed the gospel, but they were still in need of the admonition. But now you also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. I've heard people in the Lord's body before, they talk just the same as a person who's never obeyed the gospel. And Paul says, put off filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another. Now here's why. Here's why these things ought not be. Seeing they have put off the old man with his deeds, and you've put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. You're not the same person you used to be. So you got to put on the new man. Put off the old man. But also, I'm convinced a lot of people, and what I say to you, I say to me, this ever-present danger for all of us, simply didn't love enough. Many people are quick to say, I love Jesus. We even sing the song, oh, how I love Jesus. And it's just fine and dandy to love Jesus. We better love Jesus, but we better practice what we sing. You agree? And in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. But a lot of people are going to be lost because they didn't love enough. They didn't love enough to obey. And really, I'd make the argument, if you don't obey, you didn't love at all. We might say that we did, But if we love Him as we should, then we would obey. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. 1 John chapter 5 and in verse 3. So I ask you this evening, do you love the Lord? Be careful before you answer that. That's 1 John 3 and in verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. And 1 John chapter 5 verse 3 says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. So no doubt about it, a lot of people are going to be lost because they did not love. No, you cannot separate love and obedience. You agree? If we love Him, we'll find ourselves doing what He says. But a lot of people are going to be lost and find themselves on the narrow way because they didn't look ahead enough. They look back to the ways of the world, longing for the things that they used to do. And I understand that things perhaps we used to do brought a lot of satisfaction and fulfillment to the flesh. But those things cause us to be lost. I know that you can enjoy things of the world, not be right in the sight of God, but I'm simply saying that it brings a lot of pleasure to the flesh. The Bible talks about that in Hebrews chapter 11 concerning Moses. Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Someone says sin's not pleasing. Don't know what they're talking about. The Bible says it is, but it's pleasing to the flesh. And we ought to turn loose of those things and quit satisfying the lust of the flesh. But a lot of people don't look ahead enough. And the Bible says, Luke 9:62, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. And the Bible emphasizes over and over the importance of looking ahead. Don't believe me? Look at Colossians 3 verses 1 through 3. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection, your passions on things above, not on things below. Look ahead. And then I love that passage in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Looking, seeing that we are compassed about with so many great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which has so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set behind us. Any problem with that? He said, let us run with, you're right, Catherine and Bernice, let us run with patience the race that is set before us, not behind us, before us. Now notice how that ties in with verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. Look forward, not behind. Set your affection on things above. If we don't, we're going to end up being lost. But in addition to that, a lot of people are going to be lost because they don't hear enough. Some people won't hear what the Bible says. And the Bible, over and over, as it emphasizes these other things, talks about the importance of hearing. I immediately think of Revelation 1 verse 3, the blessedness that's pronounced upon the man that hears, keeps these things that are written therein. Blessed is a man that heareth, that doeth, keepeth these things, for the time is at hand, Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 3. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein. James chapter 1 verse 25. But a lot of people won't even hear what the Bible says so that they can continue in those things. He that hath ears, let him hear. You know the rest of that? Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. As a little side point while we're there, when folks want to talk about how God speaks to us today, how the Spirit speaks to us today through the Bible, to listen, when these persecuted first century Christians received this letter of consolation, encouragement, and admonition to faithfulness and steadfastness and so forth, that they can overcome. When they received that letter that was given to John, and they heard those things, they were hearing the words of the Spirit, though the Spirit didn't speak it to them. They revealed it unto John, and he pinned it down. But when they received it, and they listened to it, or they read it, they were listening to the words of the Spirit. See that point? And every single time, to each one of the seven churches of Christ in Asia, he that hath ears, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. If you're taking notes, that's Revelation 2, 7, 11, 17, 29, chapter 3, verses 6, 13, 22. So important is hearing that the Bible says. What passage would you give? You ought to know it like the back of your hand. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. But a lot of people are going to be lost because they don't continue in it. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we don't faint. Galatians 6 and then verse 9. But the Bible talks about continuing in. I mentioned that to you, James chapter 1, verse 25. Talking about the perfect law of liberty. He that continueth therein, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. This man, what man? The man that hears, continues, and does the word of God. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Keepeth those things. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. And 1 Timothy 5 and then verse 22. Keep thyself pure. The admonition Paul gave to Timothy. And so you've got to keep those things. Continue in those things. James 1:25 talks about continuing in them. Colossians 1 verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled and unmoved, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which is been preached unto you as it is in all the every creature under heaven. Colossians chapter 1 verse 23. So a lot of people are going to be lost because they did not continue enough. And again, those passages, James 1:25, Colossians 1:23, Acts 14:22, I didn't mention to you, but remember, as they went out on the first missionary journey, the Bible says they went back through, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them that they should continue in the faith, and that we, through much tribulation, must enter into the kingdom of God. And then they didn't keep enough. As I mentioned to you from James chapter 1, and then verse 27. I said I'd give you 7. I gave you 8 points. If you're taking notes as to why many would be lost. They didn't weigh enough. Didn't learn enough. Didn't put off enough. Didn't love enough. Didn't look ahead enough. Didn't hear enough. Didn't continue enough. Didn't keep enough. And there's about a half dozen more that we could do for some other time. But should you be here tonight, not a Christian, why not obey the gospel? Now, there's probably reasons, no doubt there's reasons that people could give as to why they're not going to obey. I'm sure there's many, I'm not ready, I don't know enough. Well, you can take care of that, you can learn. And the people on the day of Pentecost, upon hearing one gospel sermon, had enough to believe and obey. Think of that. They heard one sermon, believed one sermon, obeyed one sermon. And we think we've got to know everything in the book before we obey. We'll never know everything in the book. I know I won't. You may be ahead of me. Probably are. But I won't know everything in the book. And so you can't let that stop you, that you feel like you don't know everything. You're not going to know everything. But do you know enough? Do you know that you're separated from God as a result of your sin? Isaiah 59, 1 and 2. Do you know that if you die in the condition you're in, that heaven is not going to be your home, because to die outside of Christ is to die with no hope? 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. To die outside of Christ, there's no salvation, for salvation is in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 2:10. To die outside of Christ is to die the old man, the man of sin, not the new man. And to die outside of Christ is to die outside the church. Because to be a Christian is to be in the church. Acts chapter 2, verse 47. And you die outside of Christ, you're not a child of God. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 talks about, and verse 27. But you can fix all that. That's the beautiful thing about it. You don't have to stay in your condition. Hearing the gospel, believing it. Do you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Will you turn from the ways of the world and as you turn unto God, without which we'll perish? Luke 13, 3 and 5. We stand before those present tonight and with your own mouth make the good confession of your faith like the eunuch did when he said, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Will you do that? Not ashamed of him, are you? Will you be baptized for the remission of your sins? Where the blood of Christ will wash away every sin you've ever committed. Acts 2:38, Revelation 1:5. And if you've done that in time past, but you've not been living as you should, you can come back home. You know, many times there are sermons that are taught about the prodigal son. You know, it makes a good sermon too, the father of the prodigal. God desires for all to come to a knowledge of the truth and be saved, 2 Peter 3:9, doesn't desire for any to be lost. And his children that are wayward, who's left the fold and went back out in the ways of the world, he wants to come home. That's why he made provision for their salvation, Acts 8 and 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. As you repent of your unfaithfulness, make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come now.